From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, August 19th. Coming up, light pollution means most Americans can't see the Milky Way anymore. It's also hurting wildlife, including birds. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A portion of Bradley Avenue in Northwest Champaign will see some lane closures today for sewer maintenance. An eastbound lane between McKinley and Willis Avenues will close, and a westbound lane will also close between Hedge Road and Redwood Drive. The Bradley Avenue lane closures are expected to last from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m. More than a year after the pro-Palestinian encampment formed on the University of Illinois campus last summer, all charges filed against protesters have been resolved. The Champaign County State's Attorney's Office charged 8 people with felony mob action. 2 were arrested at the protest last year. The rest received court summons in the mail. Now, the News Gazette reports all cases have been dismissed as nearly all of them pled guilty. Only one student was convicted of obstructing a police officer, but they received the same sentence as others who received plea deals. Almost all of the defendants did not serve any jail time. The cases are being cleared as students are returning to the U of I for the fall semester, which starts next week. After a 2-week standoff, Texas Democrats left Chicago to go home yesterday, and they said they left victorious. Mawa Iqbal reports.
They sought refuge in Illinois to block new congressional maps that could have given Texas Republicans more seats in the U.S. House. While here, the lawmakers hit press conferences and rallies. And a day before going home, Texas State Representative James Tallarico spoke at a live stream service at Trinity United Church of Christ.
As we continue the fight against this redistricting power grab, as we continue to flip tables, as we continue to cause angelic trouble, let us recommit ourselves to the cause of democracy.
The Southside Church once counted Barack Obama as a worshiper. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is back with yet another lawsuit against the Trump administration. This time, it's because President Trump is threatening to block Democratic states from a grant to support crime victims, also known as VOCA, so long as those states don't comply with Trump's immigration enforcement plans. Raoul, along with dozens of other attorneys general, say placing this condition on these funds is immoral.
VOCA funds have no relationship to civil immigration policy. In fact, grants are distributed based on a statutory formula that has nothing to do with immigration.
Illinois greatly limits how police may cooperate with federal immigration authorities. At risk for the state is $54 million. Still to come, light pollution means most Americans can't see the Milky Way anymore. It's also hurting wildlife, including birds. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for partly cloudy skies with a high of 90 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 67 degrees, a north wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 84 degrees, a north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 63 degrees, northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Thursday, sunny with a high of 83 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, it's been 4 years since Jelani Day went missing. The 25-year-old Illinois State University grad student was found dead 11 days after his disappearance in August 2021. But his family is still looking for answers and justice. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Americans are losing their starry views to light pollution, but communities can make lighting decisions to help preserve night skies while benefiting wildlife and human health. Harvest Public Media contributor Celia Yopez-Jepson explains.
Outside Kirksville, Missouri, there's a state park called Thousand Hills. It's the 12th place in the world to earn a special title. Urban Night Sky Place.
It feels great. It was a lot of work.
That's Ryan Persinger, the park superintendent. He and his co-workers are reducing light pollution by installing better fixtures and bulbs.
The point of this certification is not to just get rid of all of the lights, because we want lights on the ground so we're safe. We just don't want them pointing up so we can't see the sky, or pointing in our eyes so we can't see at all.
Persinger is referring to one of the most important concepts in a growing movement to bring back starry skies. A lot of the wattage that homeowners, businesses, and public agencies use outdoors doesn't actually help us see. For example, picture a lamppost with a glass globe on top. It shines a good chunk of its light into the sky. That portion never reaches the street and sidewalk. Instead, it just escapes upward. Another portion of the light shines out of the lamppost horizontally and ends up hitting people right in the eye and messing with their vision. That's called glare. Thousand Hills State Park is switching to fixtures that are designed to avoid the sky and your eyes. Fixtures with shields that angle the light downward.
They also are the warm color, so more orange than that bright, obnoxious white-blue light.
Those amber bulbs are less disruptive to wildlife and to human sleep. At nearby Truman State University in Kirksville, similar changes are underway, led by faculty and students who have pulled together nearly $100,000 in grants for this. Daphne Broski-Lang helped with that. She graduated from the school last year.
When I would have some late nights working in the lab, I would go outside and it would be midnight or 1 a.m, and the birds would be chirping.
Birds were confused by all the light.
It was pretty unsettling, actually.
Plus, some of the outdoor lights were shining into dorms all night. As more lights get fixed on campus, it addresses problems like these. The retrofits keep the lights where it's needed, on the ground, and use amber LEDs, not white.
Overall, they look dimmer when you look at them. But we measured the brightness underneath the lights, and we found that on the ground, the illumination level was brighter.
Changes like this could also spell real energy savings if they become the norm. Dark Sky International, the advocacy group that certified Thousand Hills as an urban night sky place, estimates wasted outdoor light adds up to 21 million tons of carbon dioxide annually for the U.S. Vyojit Gokhale is an astronomy professor at Truman and a board member of Dark Sky's Missouri chapter. For anyone who wants to improve their outdoor lights at home, he says,
the three steps are good fixture, low lumens, and then amber color, low temperature.
So for the fixture, get one with an opaque cover to angle the light downward. For lumens, that refers to a bulb's brightness. Don't go brighter than you need. Try using lower lumens on your porch, for example, and see what you think.
There is some subjectivity there, right? What you consider low or what I consider low, it may be different. And that's fine, right? You're doing it for your front porch, but be conscious about that.
Next, for color temperature, Gokhale says look for a Kelvin number on the bulb package, and lower is better.
About 2200, 2700 Kelvin lights, certainly below 3000 Kelvin, or just look at the color, and the more amber colored it is, the better off you are, generally speaking.
One last rule of thumb, he says, make sure outdoor lights have a purpose. Remove the ones that don't, or turn them off when they're not being used. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
Hear more environmental stories on the podcast Up From Dust. This story was produced by the Kansas News Service and is being distributed by Harvest Public Media. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Arjun Tucker, May Ansar, Mawa Iqbal, and Celia Yopis-Jepson. Music by the Kilmore Nally Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.